Namaste. So these heart practices are a training. Training how to not put anyone out of your heart, including yourself. When I went to my first month-long retreat, we followed the classic training. And the first week was a reflection on offering kindness and compassion to the self, which in many ways is the hardest place to start. The second week we spent our practice reflecting on a benefactor, which is a wonderful practice to reflect on those who have been kind to you, those who are on your team, those who wish you well. It's a wonderful training in just practicing streaming energy to those that are there for you. The third week was a training on the neutral person. And the neutral person is someone in your life with whom you have no particular attraction, no particular aversion, but you train yourself to hold them in your heart and to wish them well. And so we were instructed to choose someone for our neutral person, and I chose one of our retreat managers who seemed like a fine person, but I had no particular attraction or aversion toward her. And so every day for 45 minutes was just a practice in offering this person well. And I noticed about the third day of that week, one day she just walked into the meditation hall and my heart expanded and I thought, my beloved has arrived. I was falling in love with the retreat manager. It's a basic rule that says where the attention goes, the energy flows. You know, when you fall in love or you want to fall in love with someone, you minimize what you don't like and you maximize what you do like. And at some point when the relationship shifts or you want to fall out of love with someone, you focus on what you don't like and minimize what you do like. The fourth week was focusing on a difficult person. Someone with whom you have some hurt, some sense of betrayal. And I had just come off a challenging time in my life, and there was someone that instantly came to mind. So every day, again, a reflection on forgiveness. Very challenging practice, but I had my interview with Jack Kornfield midway through that week, and I said, well, here's where I am on the forgiveness practice. I can completely forgive this person on the condition that he burn in hell for eternity. Which seemed like progress for me. And which was progress. But eventually, as I stayed with the practice, at some point toward the end of that week and toward the end of that month, I suddenly was able to do a role reversal. I was suddenly able to get what it was like for him. And why the betrayal happened. I suddenly understood that out of his own fear that there was a betrayal. And with that understanding, a shift began to occur. And I was able to begin to forgive. It was quite a powerful experience. There are a few things about forgiveness. One is a recognition of the more you have been hurt and the more you have been betrayed, the more armored you are. And that forgiveness is not a quick fix. What generally happens is over time you find that sense of betrayal is just lessened. There's a little more space, a little more empathy, more of that capacity to do a role reversal. It takes time, it takes patience. And forgiveness is not something you can force. You can't will forgiveness to happen. But you can cultivate an environment where forgiveness can occur. I had an opportunity to reflect on this personally. In last night's Dharma talk, I did a few, if you'll recall, I did a few Indian accents. And I love doing accents. I have somewhat of a gift for language, and it's kind of easy for me to slip into them. And I got some notes, a number of notes, that were incredibly kind and incredibly thoughtful, but just let me know that they didn't feel so good. And when I sat with that, I had two responses. The first was, first, a deep sense of appreciation for the courage for those to say, hey, you know, your talk was great, but be aware that this is how it lands. The second, as soon as I was able to really do a role reversal, to really sense how that would land, I felt shame. I felt embarrassed because the last thing I wanted to do was to create any kind of harm. And so I had to reflect on first self-forgiveness. There's a beautiful set of couplets, which I'll share with you later, sort of an updated version of the classic forgiveness prayer. And I'll just share what I reflected on for myself. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. I allow myself to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive myself. If I cannot forgive myself now, may I forgive myself in the future. When it comes to freeing the heart, we have to start with ourselves. And only when I could begin to create a little bit of space, I could feel my own sense of embarrassment and shame begin to soften a little bit, which leads to asking forgiveness for the other. And please allow me to be imperfect. Please allow me to make mistakes. And please allow me to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. And please forgive me. If you cannot forgive me now, please forgive me sometime in the future. And I offer that from the heart. It's a powerful and painful lesson for me. I'd like to offer a guided practice to explore forgiveness. And before we do, I'd like to offer a reading. You may be familiar with this reading. It's powerful, and it speaks to the possibility of what we can do in reclaiming our heart. If you like, you can close your eyes. Once on the train from Washington to Philadelphia, I found myself seated to a man who had worked for the State Department in India, but had quit to run a rehabilitation program for juvenile offenders in the District of Columbia. Most of the youths he worked with were gang members who had committed homicide. One 14-year-old boy in his program had shot and killed an innocent teenager to prove himself to his gang. At the trial, the victim's mother sat impassively silent until the end, when the youth was convicted of the killing. After the verdict was announced, she stood up slowly and stared directly at him and stated, "I am going to kill you." Then the youth was taken away to serve several years in the juvenile facility. After the first half year, the mother of the slain child went to visit his killer. He'd been living on the streets before the killing, and she was the only visitor he'd had. For a time, they talked, and when she left, she gave him some money for cigarettes. Then she started step by step to visit him more regularly, bringing food and small gifts. near the end of his 3-year sentence, she asked him what he would be doing when he got out. He was confused and very uncertain, so she offered to set him up with a job at a friend's company. Then she inquired about where he would live, and since he had no family to return to, she offered him temporary use of the spare room in her home. For 8 months, he lived there, ate her food, and worked at the job. Then one evening, she called him into the living room to talk. She sat down opposite him and waited. Then she started. "Do you remember in the courtroom when I said I was going to kill you?" "I sure do," he replied. "Well, I did," she went on. "I did not want the boy who could kill my son for no reason to remain alive on this earth. I wanted him to die. That's why I started to visit you and bring you things. That's why I got you the job and let you live here in my house. That's how I set about changing you. And that old boy, he's gone." So now I want to ask you, since my son is gone and the killer is gone, if you'll stay there. I've got room and I'd like to adopt you if you let me. And she became the mother of her son's killer, the mother he'd never had. I hesitate to read that because it's an extraordinary person who can do that. And to set that expectation up for ourselves can be a little extreme. And yet it does speak to the possibility of healing our hearts. I'd like to say a little bit about the metta practices and guided meditations in general. It's important to recognize that these heart practices are really set up in an artificial environment. That the words you may hear may not resonate with where you are. Personally, I find the guided metta practices very difficult because I'm usually somewhere different than where the words are. But that being said, I'd like to offer you this guided meditation, and I'll offer some guidance and then try to give you space for you to do your own practice. So hopefully I won't be interrupting your practice too much. So if you like, you can close your eyes. You might just take this time to just feel your breath. Feel the sound vibrations around you. Feel the air touching the skin and allow yourself to relax and be here. You might make contact with your own personal aspiration regarding these heart practices, your deepest intention around forgiveness. You might invoke an intention to be open and to be gentle in this process. And you might take some time now to reflect on a relationship, perhaps a specific incident or relationship where you have felt in some way harmed or hurt or betrayed. It might be skillful not to choose the most extreme, but just some relationship that resonates that you might like to work with for the next 20 minutes or so. it might be helpful to bring this a little more alive, if you're a visual person, to visualize this, either as a still image or maybe as a moving image, like a video clip. You might imagine turning up the colors or the contrast a little bit. It could be a way to make it a little more alive. You might find it helpful to call on any auditory memories, any particular words or tone of voice. And you might take some time now to explore the kinesthetic. As you reflect on this relationship, this situation, what does it feel like inside? How does your body hold this memory? And take some time to breathe and investigate the felt sense of this. Exploring in this first part an inquiry into asking forgiveness where you may have caused harm to the other. This may be through your actions, through your speech, or perhaps simply through your thoughts. Each one of us, out of our own sense of fear or hurt, have caused harm. And over these next minutes, you might allow the situation just to come closer to your attention, to sense how the other may have felt hurt or rejected, how the other was affected. You might, if it feels right, imagine whispering their name. I see and feel how I have caused you harm, and I ask forgiveness. Please forgive me. And if you cannot forgive me now, please forgive me sometime in the future. Notice if your heart feels available to feeling forgiveness. Can you imagine feeling forgiven? Shifting your attention now, if you wish, to reflect on the intention to forgive yourself. you might continue with this reflection, or perhaps there's something else that calls your attention. And you might deepen the breath and let this come in close. A sense of pushing yourself away. If there is contraction or pain, can you locate that inside? And you might inquire as to, what are you judging? What are you aversive to? Can you sense the behavior or your own unmet need or the confusion that was driving that behavior? You might, if you like, if it feels right for you, you might just gently bring your hand to your heart. Feel an intention to soften toward yourself, knowing that we cause harm to others through our own pain. I see and feel the harm I've caused to another, and I forgive myself now. You might explore just the gentle mantra of forgiven, forgiven. And if you find resistance or numbness, bring this into your experience. Is it possible to be gentle, to be forgiving toward yourself? Taking this time now to widen this circle of forgiveness, reflecting on someone who's caused you injury. Again, perhaps staying with your initial reflection, or if there is something else that comes to mind. Acknowledging that each of us at some point in our life has been betrayed or pushed away, not seen or hurt. And sensing where you may feel some hardness or some armoring or blame or separation. And as you reflect on this relationship with the other, just sense as best you can the nature of the injury. For these next moments, recall the conditions. What happened? What is true? You might, if you like, again, just gently bring your hand to your heart. Bringing a quality of loving presence to this wound. Any words you might offer, I'm sorry. I care about this suffering. And as you feel the breath, imagine if you could allow a warmth of care to move through your body, to bathe your heart. As you sense this vulnerability or tenderness, can you sense how it wants you to be with it right now? What it needs from you right now? As you reflect on the other who has caused this suffering, can you sense their fear, their suffering? And you might gently whisper their name and reflect on these words, I see and feel the ways you've harmed me. I forgive you, or I intend to forgive you sometime in the future, not to push you out of my heart. And sense the space of the heart right now. Notice if it is opened or closed, if it's agitated or tender. Notice if there's any way you've judged yourself or how you've moved through this meditation. And let it all be forgiven. And sense the edgeless quality of the heart. The capacity of the heart for kindness, for compassion and joy and steadiness. With our remaining time, about 10 minutes or so, I'd like to read this version of the forgiveness prayer. You might just let the words reflect through your awareness, and with the remaining time, just to allow your awareness to flow freely, exploring wherever it feels drawn. There are three couplets. A reflection on extending forgiveness to yourself. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make mistakes. I allow myself to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive myself, and if I cannot forgive myself now, may I forgive myself sometime in the future. the intention to ask forgiveness for others for the harm that you've done to them. Please allow me to be imperfect. Please allow me to make mistakes. Please allow me to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. Please forgive me. And if you cannot forgive me now, please try to forgive me sometime in the future. The intention to extend forgiveness to those who have harmed you. Just as I allow myself to be imperfect, so I allow you to be imperfect. I allow you also to make mistakes. I allow you also to be a learner, still learning life's lessons. I forgive you. And if I cannot forgive you now, may I forgive you sometime in the future. I'm continuing now with your own personal reflection and practice. In these remaining minutes, you might reflect on the quality and the state of your heart, whether it be open or closed, tranquil or restless. Sensing your intention to know the heart fully awake and healed. The four qualities of the awakened heart, the states that are described as immeasurable, your capacity for kindness for yourself and for others, your capacity for compassion and joy for yourself and for others, your capacity for equanimity, a quality of steadiness in the midst of change, wishing yourself well, and offering your blessings out to all beings in all directions without discrimination. Namaste.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.